So thankful to be able to get one of the guys that been coming to our luncheon ministry for many years. He owns a business cutting down trees and doing landscaping. And we had a tree, big tree behind the parsonage that fell down. And about one-fourth of the tree didn't fall down, one-third of the tree. And it was leaning like this over the shed in the back of the parsonage. But he texted me this week, and he said, "Have you made any progress on getting that tree cut down?" I said, "No, but I said, my greatest concern is all these grandchildren at my house and that tree." I said, "I got the lawnmower out of the shed, and I'm not concerned as much about the shed as I am the grandchildren." He said, "I'll be right over there." And so he showed up, I believe it was Thursday, and then Friday he cut the tree down. But while he was there, he told me, he said, it's a maple tree. And he told me, he said, he's heard me speak many times. So he said, "I want to give you a sermon illustration about the maple tree." That tree was dying down at the base. It was rotten. That's why it went over. But between the storm and the rottenness, that's what took it down. And he said, when a maple tree is rotting, there's an oxidation process that takes place going up the rest of the trunk of the tree. And it turns the colors of the tree into rainbow colors, like 7, 8, 9 different colors. And when you cut into that wood and you see the wood, it's called a rainbow maple. He said it's very valuable, very valuable. People are very interested in having that type of mantle, maybe over a fireplace or something like that. It's so beautiful. But he was saying, "Pastor, it illustrates redemption because," and we're talking about pride here, "and until we see our rottenness and our wretchedness clearly," which is, you know, the purpose of God's law, these Pharisees that were trying to trap Jesus, they used the law and their traditions with the law to try to produce their own righteousness outwardly that had no acceptance with God. But the purpose of God's law is to show every one of us our wretchedness. Romans says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight." The purpose of God's law is the knowledge of our sin, that we'd understand our wretchedness and our rottenness, the rottenness of our wretchedness. Apart from Jesus Christ, we have no goodness within us. We have, if there's anything good going on, we got to give all the praise to God if there's anything good going on. You remember one day they called the master "good master." And he said, "Do you realize what you're saying by calling me good? If it's good, God's got to be in it immediately. It's got to be something God's doing." So God can take rottenness, and in the redemption of the power of the cross, he can make rainbow colors of life in our life as the beauty of Christ's life shines through. But we've got to be willing to see our rottenness and confess our rottenness of our wretchedness, not just when we first come to know Christ, but constantly. You know, Paul said in Romans 7, "As a believer, oh wretched man that I am." He was still understanding. He says, "In me, that is in my flesh." Remember what he said? "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth" what? "No good thing." So if we see that clearly, we'll be able to understand these issues of pride and really get it right with God. So with that said, I want to talk about the seriousness of pride. If you had a gas leak, which I know, Mary Rumsey, you just had a gas leak at your house. And when you have a gas leak, you can smell the gas. And is that what happened at your house? You guys started smelling it? And you say, "Oh, it's just a gas leak. What's the big deal? You know, we can put up with a little bit of smell." Just ignore it. Just let it go. Don't do anything about it. And I guarantee you that God is constantly speaking to every one of us, whether it be through his creation or whether it be through his scripture, or whether it be through our conscience, or whether it be through the reproofs of life. God reproves us in life situations of our pride, or whether it be by the Holy Spirit. Jesus clearly said when the Holy Spirit is come into the world, what will the Holy Spirit do when he's come into the world? He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So God, by various means, is constantly speaking to us about our sinfulness and our wretchedness, but it's very easy to ignore it. It's very easy to minimize it, or it's very easy just to explain it away or do like the Pharisees did and come up with our own traditions about what the law means and try to find acceptance with God by our own works and our own effort. So I wish I had time to mention all the scriptures that I found that speaks directly to pride in the Old Testament and New Testament. We don't have time to look at it all. But when God speaks to it that many times, and he warns and he warns and he warns the devastation of what will happen to a person's life and to other people's lives, pride is destructive. Now listen, we know the verse. Pride, it's in Proverbs, if I'm remembering correctly. Pride goes before destruction, but we need to park on that word destruction. We need to think about it so we understand the seriousness of what's going on when we have pride. Destruction. I mean, we all have seen the fires in California and the devastation of what happens when that fire rips through those woods and the decimation that takes place, that a fire can bring destruction to the wood. We've watched on the news when they have the storms down there in the Gulf Coast and those hurricanes come through, and you see on the news the devastation and the ruin of houses, land, property. See the floods of the water. I was seeing some of the floods over there in the Philippines when I looked at it this morning. The devastation, the ruin, the destruction that's taken place with property and buildings and trees. And we can see it clearly. We can see the devastation. We can see the destruction. But I think when it comes to pride, we don't see it as clearly as we need to see it. We don't see how destructive it is. We don't see how ruinous it is, both to ourselves and to others. Other people get hurt badly when we have pride. Talks about in Proverbs, the wounds of a talebearer go down into the innermost parts. You've heard the expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's a bunch of foolishness. Because words that people speak about you hurt deeply, especially when they're spoken in pride and self-righteousness and so forth. It hurts deeply. And so I think most of us would probably say, I've been on the receiving end of it. But do we recognize that in our life we've been on the giving end of it? Do we recognize what pride looks like, the symptoms of it, the characteristics of it, the manifestation of it? Do we see it? Do we recognize it? Are we concerned about it? Pride goes before destruction. It goes before destruction. Let me just read a few verses here. This is just a sample. The lofty looks of man, this is Isaiah, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. Now we're just talking about our look. Can we have a prideful look? In Proverbs, it says there are six things that the Lord hates, and seven are abomination to him. Remember that? And gives the list of the seven. Does anybody remember the first on the list in Proverbs? A proud look. It's just, it's in your eyes. It's in my eyes. It's a proud look. You know, you can. It's just the look on your face that's revealing pride. And God says he hates it. If I ask you, what do you think of when you think of the sins of abomination in the Bible? What sins come to your mind? Well, there's twice in the Bible that God refers to pride as an abomination to him. It's serious. It's serious. We look at other sins and we see the abomination of other sins. But do we see the abomination of the sin of pride? And it started with that Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember in 1 John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then God narrows it down for us. He says there's three root problems in life that we all are up against. As we journey through life, there's three challenges we all have. We will constantly have it until the day we take our last breath. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what's the third one? The pride of life. It's serious. It's at the root of our problems. Pride is at the root of our problem. We wonder, what's my problem? Well, pride is at the root of so many things we're trying to figure out. So many things we're trying to sort out. So many things we're trying to get the answer to. And we're trying to frame the circumstances of our life. And why did God let this happen? Well, many times God's trying to show us things about ourselves and draw us unto himself so his blessing can flow through us. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted. That's Isaiah chapter 2. Obadiah chapter 1. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, I will bring you down. Psalms 18. God will save the afflicted people, but he will bring down high looks. 2 Samuel 22. The afflicted people will God save, meaning humbled before him in their affliction. Blessed are they that are mourned. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the affliction he's talking about here. The Beatitudes, when the Lord said, this is how you get the blessing in life. This is how you experience the... When I said I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, you got to be poor in spirit. You got to mourn over the wretchedness of your sin. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You got to recognize there's no goodness in us whatsoever apart from the life of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So I could keep going. When the devil tempted our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, when the devil dealt with Eve, he used the same three approaches: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You go back and look at the three were there. When the devil tempted our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, same three are there. How many times did the devil tempt the Lord Jesus? Three times. Why only three times? Because there are three root problems that all of us face in life. And by the way, you may say, well, how can the Lord understand what I'm going through? You know, the Bible says there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. But it also says you have a great high priest that can be what? Touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Now, how can the Lord sympathize with us in every situation? Well, first of all, he was God incarnate in humanity. He was the God-man. Amen. He's been down these roads. But furthermore, he was attacked in these root areas. He had to respond to the devil in these root areas. And how did he respond? I'm sure all of us remember. He responded every time with the word of God. Amen? So if we're not ready with the word of Christ and the truth of God's word, we are nothing against the powers of darkness. Over in 1 Peter 5, there's a whole section in 1 Peter 5 where it talks about, and so much of this in the Bible, we could spend a lot of time on this. But in 1 Peter 5, it says that we as believers, when we clothe ourselves every day, when we put on our clothes for our body, it says in 1 Peter 5, another thing to clothe yourself with every day is the clothes yourself with what? Humility. We need to be constantly clothed with humility. Now, the context says, and if we don't conquer pride, we're going to have problems with worry. If we're not clothed with humility before God, we're going to have trouble with worry. It's a cluster. You know how the fruit of the Spirit is a cluster? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth. Pride is a cluster. If you have pride, it's a cluster of things that goes with it. And one of the things that goes with it when you have pride is worry. Worry. And being weighed down with care. Because when it says we should be clothed with humility in verse 5, then it says, after we're clothed with humility, casting all your care. You don't know how to cast it upon him if the humility part of it hasn't been worked out yet. If there's pride issues, I deserve better than this. Why did the Lord let this happen to me? I deserve better. This person shouldn't have treated me this way. This person shouldn't have said what they said about me. It's just on and on and on it goes. Which, by the way, if you want to really deal with pride, you got to realize the self-focus of pride. The self-focus. Pride is a matter of me being consumed and taken up with who? Me, myself, and I. And as long as we are consumed with ourselves, we will keep getting offended, keep getting hurt, we'll continue to be bitter. Like it says with Esau, this is serious business with pride. It says, looking diligently, this is in Hebrews 12, looking diligently as believers, be looking diligently, be on guard, be watching for this, be alert to this, don't be out of touch with these issues of pride and the destruction of it. Looking diligently, lest there be in any of you, talking about us as believers, a root of bitterness. Now, why is there a root of bitterness? Because we're consumed with ourselves. You know, in the scriptures, when the Lord was talking about a man loving his wife as Christ loves the church, he makes this statement: no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You and I don't have to work on loving ourselves. We don't have to work on thinking about ourselves. That part comes quite naturally. Right? It comes quite naturally to be consumed with thinking about yourself. What's supernatural is to have the mind of Christ. That's supernatural. And when we have the mind of Christ, it says that Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto. So he was not focused on what he would receive from others. He was not focused on somebody treating him a certain way or saying the right things about him or this, that, and the other. He said he came not to be ministered unto, but he came to what? Now listen, this is why it says in 1 John, perfect love cast out. This is why I say it's a cluster. If you have pride, you're going to have fear issues. If you have pride, you're going to have worry issues. If you have pride, you're going to have a lot of issues. You're going to be trying to figure out, well, why am I having all these issues? Well, be careful, looking diligently, lest there be in any of you a root. What's at the root of so much of our issues in life? Pride. It talks about when we have pride, it says many other people will be affected by it. Remember that? In Hebrews 12, it says by our pride, there's a defiling that takes place. Injurious things take place with other people. And so you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it short circuits the grace of God. God gives grace to the what kind of a person? Humble. So it says in Hebrews, be careful, be on the alert, lest there be a root of bitterness within you, lest any man fail of the grace of God, the operation of God's grace. Because if pride is present, it will short-circuit the powerful operation, dynamic operation of the grace of God. And when God gives us grace, he gives us the will to do his will. We don't have the will to do his will. Everybody with me? When God gives us grace, he gives us the willingness to do his will. And when God gives us grace, he gives us the power to do his will. But if we are prideful, we won't have the willingness to do his will, and we won't have the power to do his will. We short-circuit the operation of the grace of God in our lives. And that's where the anger comes from. That's where the worry comes from. That's where the bitterness comes from. And all the cluster of ugliness of the flesh emerges. It's just ugly stuff. And if you get this straight, you get a lot of things straight in your life. So that's why I want to get back to the powers of darkness here, because we are in a spiritual battle against forces that we have no chance against, humanly speaking. The hope of victory against the powers of darkness are completely in the Lord's atonement, redemption, resurrection, exaltation, at the right hand of the Father. Who is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can lead us in triumph over these powers of darkness. We are no match for them. And if we're trying to handle the spiritual warfare that comes against us, and we all have it. We all have it. Now, I'm not trying to blame the devil for everything. Our biggest problem is inside of us, not outside of us. Can anybody say amen? Well, it's not the devil making us do anything. I'm telling you right now, the powers of darkness are looking to see if they have some opportunity to work. And it's like mold. For mold to grow, there are certain conditions that has to be present for mold to grow. And when we have pride, when we have bitterness, when we have anger, when we have an unforgiving spirit, this is what the Bible says in Ephesians. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because if you have it and you don't get it right with God, and you're going to have to pride and anger are connected. If we don't confess it to God, what does it say in the next verse? We give place. Who do we give place to? We give place to the powers of darkness to work. This is serious business. It's our life. It's our lifeline to God. Brokenness and humility before God. It's our lifeline to God. No wonder God repeats it 3 times in the New Testament. Now, one of the times he repeats it in the New Testament is Matthew 23. And I'm just bringing out a few points about pride. But in Matthew 23, the Lord gave the strongest denunciation ever in his ministry. And he said, woe unto you Pharisees, you scribes, you hypocrites. He said it 8 times. And he listed 8 characteristics of prideful disposition, prideful attitude, and what it looks like. It'd be a good place to go to get the symptoms and get the, you know, like the COVID virus, we know what the symptoms are, right? And you look for the symptoms. You know, does a person have a fever? Has a person lost taste? So forth and so on. You look for the symptoms. Well, there's a bunch of symptoms listed in Matthew 23. There's a bunch more symptoms listed in God's Word. We just need to be in touch with it, alert to it. Hardness is one of the symptoms, by the way. Hardness. If we refuse to confess to God what's really in our heart, and he keeps speaking to us about it. He keeps speaking to us about it. He keeps speaking to us about it. And we refuse to confess it and acknowledge it and repent of it. There's a hardness that sets in. There's a callousness that sets in. And one way the Bible describes it in the epistles is your conscience can be seared. Seared. And so you're not as sensitive to being convicted about things because there's a hardness there and a callousness there, and you become self-righteous, you become prideful and judgmental and so forth and so on. Again, it's a cluster. Now, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, I like it when God makes it simple. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? It's when God gets it down to the ABCs of, okay, if you get this, you'll be able to get the rest of it. And in Micah 6:8, he says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? Do justly, love kindness. What's the third one? Walk humbly. Walk humbly. Humility is at the root of resolving life problems. If you were to ask me, if you ask me the question, what does a young man or a son or daughter need to be successful in life? I would go directly to this point right here. To be successful in life, you've got to know how to walk humbly with God. You've got to constantly maintain humility, constantly be clothed with humility. So many things get short-circuited when we don't have a humble attitude, a humble disposition. And, you know, all of us have to keep confessing our sin to God because we're a work in progress. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us. Amen. It's not like we're going to be perfect about it, but are we even in the fight? Are we even in the confessing of it? Are we even in the acknowledging of it? Because if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you, it's wonderful to get a spiritual bath from God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing. I think he's talking about a continual washing there. Continual washing, because we have to keep on confessing. You know, God's mercy has to be new to us how often? So it's not like, okay, I'm on top of pride. Well, about the time you think you're on top of pride, and about the time you think you're a humble person, guess what? You don't have it. You've lost it. It's 24/7 constant maintenance. And I tell you, it takes a lot of humbling. It takes a lot of getting with God. It takes a lot of getting with God. And just being willing to say, God, I'm a prideful man. I'm an angry man. I'm a self-righteous man. I'm a bitter man. So forth and so on. When you confess your sin, you name the sin. Amen? You name it. You don't just say, God, forgive me of my many sins. Wholesale. Name the sin. Name the place. Name the person. And it's amazing how God will heal the rottenness within us and produce that beautiful rainbow color of the life of Jesus within us. And the beauty of Christ's life can be fleshed out. The redemption, the redemptive life of our Son, our God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make one final point here about powers of darkness, and I'll pray. Going back to 1 Peter 5, it talks about being clothed with humility. Then it talks about casting all your care upon him. So worry is connected with the pride. But power, being able to stand against all the wiles of the devil is also connected with pride. When Lucifer fell, right, what was the root issue that caused him to fall? It was pride. I will be like thee, Most High God. I will exalt myself over, and then I will. And that's what caused the fall of Lucifer, and according to Revelation, one third of the angels that fell with him. So this is big stuff here, serious stuff. But I want to point out the powers of darkness here in 1 Peter 5. Because it says, be sober, in the same context of being clothed with humility, be sober, be vigilant about this humility issue. Be sober, be diligent, for your adversary, and it doesn't say the demons, even though there are demons. It says your adversary, and who does it name? The devil himself. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? Those that don't understand the pride issues of life and confess it and acknowledge it to God, and then allow God to work in us a spirit of brokenness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of meekness. Now, here's what the Lord said. You talk about life getting you down, weighing you down. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that are what? Weary with life and heavy what? Heavy laden. But then he identifies why it's a weary experience and why it's a burdensome experience. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for what am I? I am meek and lowly. So the Lord's identifying it for us. If you want to be set free from the weariness and the dismalness and the anger and the depression and the bitterness and the all that ugly stuff, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. So our Lord went down the pathway in his humanity, and he's asking us to follow him to the cross. He emptied himself and became obedient, even to the what? The death of the cross. All right, let's pray. Our Father, there's so much in your word about this. I pray you'd help us every time we read your word to be on alert mode for it. I pray you'd help us to be watching for it. Every time we see something about pride and humility, mark it in the Bible. Take notes about it. Because this is at the root. It's at the root of why our life gets messed up. You talk about success. There is no success in life without a spirit of humility, a spirit of brokenness, a spirit of meekness. And I pray, as I've started this whole service praying, that every one of us would hear not just what the pastor's got to say. I pray we'd hear what you have to say. Because when you show it to us, that's what's going to cause it to take hold in our life. Lord, we can't just get it secondhand from somebody else. We need to hear your voice through your word by your spirit. And so we commit it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.